and desire to serve God by overseeing, training, and caring for the needs of a group of Christians. Now, to me, that sounds awesome and terrifying, and a whole lot of responsibility. So how can one ever know how to shepherd? We look for the best example, and we have the Good Shepherd as our example. So we're going to be looking at who Jesus is as the Good Shepherd. And I think he knows a thing or two about shepherding. But if there's one thing that you hear today that you take home and really get in your heart and your mind, it's this. My first point is this. Following Jesus is about listening to his voice, staying in stride with him, and when we get off track, trusting in his course correction. Do I need to say that again? Oh, there. Write that down. That's the main thing we're going to be talking about today. And before we get into John chapter 10, I want to give you a little context. In John chapter 9, there's this blind man. He was born blind for the very specific purpose of encountering Jesus so many years later in his life and for Jesus to perform a miracle of giving him sight. He was born blind for the specific purpose of Jesus encountering him and healing him from his blindness. Now, a couple problems with the Pharisees that they had with this was that this blind man, he was already not allowed in the temple because he was crippled. They didn't believe him, so they asked his parents, and they were like, well, I don't know, talk to him. I know he's been blind, but I don't know anything about this Jesus fellow. And then they're also mad that Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. So we're set up in John chapter 10 to really see that Jesus sees a blatant irresponsibility in the Jewish leadership. I mean, they've excommunicated this guy from the temple when he's a blind man finally getting sight. They should be rejoicing with him. They should be wrapping their arms of love around him. But instead, they kick him out of the temple, and they got a beef with Jesus. And so he's just laying it thick on the Pharisees at this point. And the Bible actually holds spiritual leaders, pastors, priests, shepherds, to a very, very high standard. And I know some of you are like, I'm not a shepherd. I don't have that gift. I'm not a pastor or a priest. My bar is a little bit lower, so I'm all good. Wrong. 1 Peter 2:9 says that Christians are a royal priesthood. So we are all expected and held to that same high standard as pastors, priests, and shepherds. So let's read in our Bible, John chapter 10. We're going to start with verses 1 through 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he was brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. So he explains it again. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and we will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. There are many voices, many people in this world who want to distract you from the Good Shepherd's voice. There are many voices in this world that want to distract us, to lead us astray. These voices want to steal your path, steal your purpose, and steal your point of view. Yes, they want to steal your path. If you're not careful, following the wrong voice will lead to disastrous outcomes because it leads you away from Jesus. Leads you away from God. But if our path has been laid out by Jesus, and he says two words to the disciples, what does he say? Follow me. Our path has already been laid out. When we get distracted, it's because we stop following his path because the wrong voices are leading us astray. Yes, those wrong voices want to steal your purpose as well. God created each one of you so very uniquely. Just look around the room. Look into each other's hearts and souls. You're not doing it. I mean literally. Look at each other. Look how unique and beautiful you people are. Don't you think that the purpose God has planned for you is also unique? Not to be copied, not to be just done like everyone else has done, but to follow his purpose. The wrong voice wants to lead you astray from the purpose that God has delivered to you. A purpose pursued apart from him leads to a very, very unfulfilled life. And today, our distractions, the voices have never been louder or greater than they are right now. But we have a God who loves and desires us and wants to keep us on track. If we would just listen to him. Understanding God's purpose for us starts with not conforming to the world, not listening to the other voices. And then it follows by us reshaping our mind and our heart after Jesus. Those wrong voices want to steal your point of view as well. When we lose focus off of Christ, we will wander. We will wander aimlessly when we are not focused on Christ. So what we fill our minds with become how we see the world. And before too long, we can't see the world. We can't see each other. We can't see the stranger. We can't see the neighbor the way Jesus sees them. The wrong voice wants to steal your point of view on everybody. The more and more we get our news from this channel or that channel, that's how we start seeing the world. That's how we start seeing other people. But what if we actually did what Jesus wanted to do and see people the way he sees them? The wrong voice will steal your point of view. As a Christ follower, we have a tremendous, awesome gift. And that is to see the world as Jesus sees it. That is to see the stranger, the neighbor, as Jesus sees them. What an awesome gift. But we have to stop conforming to the world and the way they see people and things and everything. We've got to renew our minds. We have to renew our point of view. My next point is this. Who you listen to, you follow. Who you listen to, you follow. Now, many, many years ago, me and a group of friends, we went to a haunted cornfield maze. Anyone ever been to a cornfield maze before? Not so much in this crowd. Uh-oh. A cornfield maze is like acres of an actual maze made of corn stalks. And it's kind of creepy at night. And then add on that this was a haunted one. Like people were like ducked in these corners and their purpose was to jump out at you. Now me and my friends were going. And my really good friend, he had already been there 3 or 4 times. So he knew all the scares. He knew exactly where to take us. So we get in there. And he rips up the field, the maze map that we have. He's like, you don't need this. I got you. We're like, okay. Another little twist in this story is there was a girl in this group that I really liked. And when you're scared and you're trying to flirt with a girl, things don't go well. They don't go well at all. So after the fourth time where my friend led us to a scare and I was like, if there's any chance I have remotely with this girl, we got to do this on our own. So I grabbed her by the hand, and we start going the other way. And I couldn't figure out where I was going, so we just cheated and went right through the corn stalks. And I thought we were going to the gate, and we ended up going to the back of the cornfield maze. There was this, like, old 40-year-old tractor that had never been used, pitchforks, which I didn't even know that they were still used, and, like, flickering lights. And I really thought this was it. I was like, you know what? There's no shot with this girl. Help! I didn't care. I had no shame whatsoever. I yelled help as loud as I could. And one of the workers finally came up and they're like, hey, what are you doing? You're out of bounds. Here's a map. Follow this way. You'll be all right. So guess what? We followed the map to the T. To the T. And guess what? We got out. We found the gate. And you know what? There's a few problems in this. First, I listened to the wrong voice in my friend. And sometimes following your friends or even maybe your family member's advice, sometimes it's not the right way. Because the only right way is Jesus' way. And if those friends or family members or whoever it might be, someone you're close to, is leading you into a way that's farther away from Christ, y'all need to have a conversation. The other person that led me astray was myself. I thought I knew best. I should have known Proverbs 3:5. Lean not on your own understanding. I got us more lost than we were before. And on the third problem was we disregarded the map. Now, I believe this is our spiritual map. And it leads to one person and one person only. That is Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. He is the Alpha and Omega. And when we disregard this, we start following different paths. We start listening to different voices. The voices we start listening to are all lies. All lies. You know, what other people think of me matters more than what God thinks of me. You ever told yourself that lie? Or the lie that I'm not good enough? How dare us? We are a masterpiece created by God. Or maybe the lie that I have to do this all on my own because I can, because it's about me. What a vicious, prideful lie that we listen to and start believing. Or that my opinions and my rights matter more than anyone else's. Another vicious lie. Or that I'm a mistake. All lies that the world wants us to believe, and if we're not listening to the Good Shepherd, we will believe them. We absolutely will. And all those lies are told by Satan himself to distract you from the Good Shepherd, to steal your path, to steal your purpose, and to steal your point of view. Deuteronomy 6:4 is known as the Shema verse. Say that word, Shema. Now, this Hebrew word, Shema, is to hear, listen, to hear. And the verse says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." The Lord is Israel's God, the only one. If Jesus is our God, our King, our Good Shepherd, there can only be one. We should only be listening to one voice. So may we hear, may we shama from our Lord, our King, and our Good Shepherd. Because who we do listen to, we will follow. So we better listen to Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 10, 11 through 18. Let's finish up there. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have the other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Now, if we want to know how to shepherd, let's look at what a shepherd does. Shepherding is very difficult. It's a time-consuming, stressful job. No wonder the lower classes did it. And usually, it was the lowest class in the family. So usually, it was the younger boys or younger girls who were actually doing the shepherding. So all your nativity scenes that you just set up and it has all the shepherds with these giant beards, it ain't historically accurate. Throw them in the trash. No, I'm just playing. You don't have to do that, but you could. Shepherding is difficult. You got to bring them out of the fold, lead to pasture, lead to streams of water, bring back the ones that went astray. And at times, you have to stay up all night just to protect them. Why? Because this was your family's job. This was your family's income. This was your family's livelihood. And so we see throughout all of scriptures, there are tons of our biblical heroes that were shepherds at one point in time. Abraham, Jacob, Rachel, Amos, David, Zipporah, Moses. Don't you think shepherding helped Moses while wandering the desert for 40 years with many and many a grumbling of people? I think shepherding helped him out a lot. And if we want to know how to shepherd, you got to know a little something about sheep. Christians, we are compared to sheep. Don't you wish it was something cooler? Like at least a horse or a bear or like a pterodactyl or something cooler than sheep. But no, it's sheep. And sheep were one of the earliest animals to be domesticated for agricultural purposes. And by nature, they're very gentle, very quiet, and usually detached from the world because they were defenseless. They would always listen to, their shepherds. And so that means that they became obedient by nature. They would also follow each other, which is where we get that saying, get one to go and they all follow. They desire to stay together. But many are prone to wander. And these ones that wander are very defenseless. Therefore, they're totally dependent on the shepherd. Constantly in danger. Thieves from neighboring tribes. If this is where a lot of the income came, they would try to steal other sheep out of the fold. Wolves were an issue. Flash floods were an issue. Cliffs were an issue. And I just think of like Looney Tunes, you know, when the thing just falls off the mountain. It's like, whew, poof. I know that's really not a very pleasant vision, but that's what I think about. I'm sorry. These sheep are always in danger from everywhere. And so they have to rely on the shepherd. I think we're in danger a lot. We're in danger of temptation, pride, any sin, you name it. We are in a lot of danger. We have to rely on the good shepherd. And so the sheep trust the shepherd. They draw near to the shepherd. Why? Because Jesus is the good shepherd. He is perfect goodness. He is the standard of goodness we must shadow. We have the good news that is about the good shepherd that died for you and me on a good Friday so that when we study the good book, it propels our faith into good works. Goodness is a result of walking in the very footsteps of the good shepherd. We will be known by our goodness when we follow Christ. My next point is this. We walk in the shadow of who or what we trust. We walk in the shadow of who or what we trust. Sheep listen to the shepherd's voice because they trust him. And that shepherd will never degrade, devalue, or discount any of the sheep. Because all the sheep matter. Even the wandering sheep that just keeps going missing matters. Even the black sheep, like myself in the family. The sheep of another fold that's not even here. The shepherd cares about that sheep as well. And I love how the scriptures say that he knows them by name. It's a personal relationship for the good shepherd. He wants to know you. And he knows your worth because you are his masterpiece. But many of us are just putting our trust in the wrong voices and people. People that would lead us astray and at the first sign of trouble, skedaddle. Gone. But not the good shepherd. Not the good shepherd. He laid down his life for us. Trusting in Jesus means we are walking in stride with him. We are in the very shadow of Jesus. And with trusting comes obedience. If the good shepherd says go that way, obedience means you go that way. But we are rebellious, sinful people who are constantly disobedient. And I don't know about you when you were younger, but when I was disobedient, I got disciplined. Not because my parents didn't love me. They loved me. They didn't love me so much, they let me name the belts I was spanked with. There was Bob, the thick one, which didn't hurt that much. But Tina, that thin one, woo! Man. Nightmares, memories. But they loved me. They disciplined because they loved me. Proverbs 3:11 through 12 speaks about not resenting God's discipline because the Lord disciplines those he loves. This is the type of godly discipline that gets us back on track with him, back into the fold, saves us from something far worse. Every kid, when they're young, wants to touch everything, right? Kids aren't the smartest, okay? They don't know that when the stove turns from black to orange and glowing, they shouldn't touch it. And every kid wants to say, oh, I turned orange. I got to touch it. I got to touch it. But thankfully, we have parents that hop in there and do a judo chop. Knock our arm down. And that might hurt. You might be bruised a little bit, but guess what? You ain't burnt. And that's what Jesus does for us. Sometimes his godly discipline bruises us a little bit, but saves us from being burnt. My last point is this. There is purpose in our pain. There's purpose in our pain. Course correction can and will be difficult. Life change is difficult. The Lord's discipline aims to help us, even if it pains us. Because that's what happens when sheep wander. They get that poke and prod by the shepherd to get back on track. Every shepherd has a rod or a staff, right? And on those staffs, there's just a hook. And if the sheep fall into a pit, which they did a lot, I guess, that shepherd's got to take that hook, grab them up by the neck, or if it's a small sheep, around the belly, and pull them right up. You don't think that hurt? Right? You don't think that was very uncomfortable? But if the shepherd doesn't do this, the sheep die. If the shepherd doesn't lead to water or food, the sheep will die. If the shepherd doesn't lead to greener pastures, they will get exhausted, starve, and then die. If the shepherd doesn't keep them on path, the sheep run astray. They become in danger, and they possibly will die. If the shepherd doesn't pull them out of the pits, the sheep die. So when you feel a little poked or prodded by life, it might be God trying to get you back on track. Might be. Dennis, come on, get back on track. Tracy, you know you're going to fall off the cliff, Tracy. Poke into the ribs. Get back on track. Trust me. I know. Some of y'all have been hit over the side of the head by God. It ain't just the poke in the ribs. It's like, what are you doing? Do you see the cliff and the wolves that are coming for you to devour you? Stop going that way. Come back to me. I love you. The Lord's discipline hurts sometimes. So when you have wandered off a little bit, the Good Shepherd is just course correcting you back into the fold. Maybe you have fallen to a pit of life. The Good Shepherd's staff is pulling you out of that pit of despair. Maybe God is just nudging you in the ribs and is very uncomfortable because you might just be a little off path. But that's still too far away. When David wrote in Psalm 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He was in the valley of the shadow of death. He's in danger. And if he's not careful, he will be devoured. The Lord's rod and staff, his discipline comforts him. Think about that. His discipline comforts him. Throughout all the scriptures, a lot of times when you see a rod or a staff, it's about discipline. Godly discipline. God disciplines because he loves us. And it's a sign of love. It really is. It's not a sign of hate. The opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. If he didn't care about you, he wouldn't discipline you. Right? I got spanked because my parents cared about me. I'm the middle child, so I got a lot of them. So they really loved me. I hope. Right? Oh, yeah. God cares enough to get us back on track, and we've got to trust in that course correction. So maybe the pokes and the prods of life are really protecting us, leading us to a better place, a greener pasture. As we close, I'm reminded of Jesus telling this parable in Luke 15 about if a shepherd has 100 sheep, and one goes missing, what does the shepherd do? Goes after that one. The 99, they're left to complain about the sound system and the pews. He goes after that one because they're lost. Nothing is more important. Nothing is more important. And when the shepherd brings that sheep back on his shoulders, back into the fold, guess what everyone is doing? Rejoicing. When one lost soul is found, the heavens rejoice. It is a party. And there's dancing. There's probably smoke machines without having to be a machine. There are light shows because it's real lightning. When one soul is found, the heavens rejoice, as we should. Because every sheep matters. If you've never decided to follow Jesus this morning, guess what? The good shepherd is searching for you right now. He is out there searching for you right now. And trust me, life is so much better in his care. Life is so much better. Some of you are like me, though. We say, I'm prone to wander. I feel it. I'm prone to wander. I feel it. Yes, it's true. We all make mistakes. Each one of the sheep gets off path. Especially the path that Jesus laid out for us. We all get off path. Some of you say like me, but and I'm prone to leave the God I love. This is the craziest thing to me. Even when we love God, we tend to leave his loving arms. It breaks my heart that we do that, right? The God that loves us so much, we tend to leave. We're prone to wander. So we all, with the top of our lungs, have to say, here is my heart, Lord. Oh, take and seal it. I never want to be apart from you, God, ever again. I want to be on your path. I want to fulfill your purpose. I want to see the world through your point of view. I want to be marked as being one of yours, God. So please, Lord, seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I want to make this official. I want to be a part of your kingdom and your kingdom only. And I want to hear your voice. And when I want to walk down the path you are walking, Jesus, that's where we got to get. That any other voice is the wrong voice. Any other path is the wrong path. Any other purpose is the wrong purpose. Any other way of seeing the world is the wrong way of seeing the world. When we follow the Good Shepherd, we are going into the fold of God, into his loving arms. Let's pray. Lord God, at times we do stray because we are prone to wander. And Lord, yes, you do love us. You love us so incredibly so. So may we seek forgiveness when we do wander. May we listen to your voice and your voice only. Lord, you are the good shepherd. It is in your goodness that we must step by step by step follow you. In your name I pray, amen. This morning, there's going to be an invitation. And really, the Lord is just inviting you to make a decision. Because you better not go out this door the same way you came into it. Every decision, every single day matters because God created you. So you need to make a decision that you're going to stay closer to the path. Fulfill the purpose God intended for you only. See the world the way Jesus sees it. If you've never followed him ever, if you've been out astray your whole life, Jesus is looking for you. You could be found today. Let's stand and let's sing.
Come thou fount of every blessing. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. O to grace, how great a debtor daily thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it for
Michael, thank you for preaching and sharing that word with us today. And you may have noticed what Michael did there at the end of the sermon and with the hymn. That was a masterful turning of the way things were done there. His last words of his sermon talked to us about how we are prone to wander, about how we tend to wander away from God. And then the last stanza we sang of Come Thou Fount is that marvelous, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. To reinforce what he has taught and what the Lord has shared with us this morning. Well done. Nicely done. As we go from this place, friends, may we remember that we are indeed going to follow what we listen to. We are indeed ones that are prone to wander. So may we help others who are wandering, and may we, as we wander, listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. O Lord Jesus, we ask that you would lead us. We know you will, and we know you are. May we be wise enough to discern your voice among all the other voices that are out there. May we be courageous enough to follow it when we hear it, even if no one else goes with us. And may we lean on your forgiveness for those times that we wander, and may we be bold enough to be willing to be rescued. You are the one who loves us. You are the shepherd who guides us. In your name, O Lord, we thank you. Amen.